With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.
Now, this is a particular study that shows negative correlation and damage that AI can do with over-reliance, dependence, and even just a little bit usage of AI in the first place. So this is a study coming out of MIT lab on AI and cognitive engagement, right? It examines AI use and cognitive engagement during writing tasks, and the results are discussed in conversations about AI, cognitive offloading, and creative decline. Now, I'm somebody as a futurist who's been teaching AI for the last, I'm somebody who's been teaching AI for the last 10 years, preparing people for what are going to be the necessary skills. As a futurist, as a thought leader, I've traveled the world. I've lectured in 13 plus countries, and I've just finished a tour called the Cognitive Renaissance Tour, where we was trying to avoid this very problem by preparing people for the future where AI is producing this cognitive atrophy. And this study confirms what was exactly what we've been teaching this whole entire time. And it is a warning for you, your children, and anybody else who picks up AI without first having this understanding. MIT lab studies on AI and cognitive engagement showed that they did a test on how people think and write when using AI compared to writing independently. So there was one group that wrote an essay with ChatGPT. There was a group that wrote an essay with Google search. And then there was a group who used no tools, just their own cognitive abilities and or thinking. And there was participants that completed SAT style essays while researchers recorded brain activity. They was connected to EEG machines, right? Which were connected and showing processes in 32 regions of the brain. So some of the key findings in this was that AI users showed the lowest neural activity during writing tasks. Participants remember very little of the essay they produced when later asked to rewrite them without the tool. And participants increasingly relied on AI output and eventually copied large portions rather than thinking through the writing process. Now, I know that you all have seen people online where it looks like they're reading the script. This is what I call script scholars, right? That they don't have their own cognitive ability, so I'm not sure how they would do in person or having a back and forth conversation. Because what's happening is they're using their minds like machines. They remember something for a short burst of time, and then a week later, you asked them to recall something that, you know, that they were speaking upon and they probably could not. So it shows participants that was writing an essay and they wrote a great essay. They had a creative boost, but without that tool, there was actually a creative decline. And it showed weaker alpha and theta brain waves were observed, signals associated with memory formation and deeper thinking. These were shown to be weaker. So the alpha and the theta brain waves are weaker for the people that were using the AI. Now, for the people that didn't use the AI, of course, there was no effect. But the people who did use the AI, there was an effect. So you felt more creative while you were doing it. Similar to people say they're more creative on weed. Well, weed just makes you feel more creative. You're not actually more creative. Otherwise, you know, those would be the most creative people in the world, with or without it, because it would have lasting effects. Then there was evidence of cognitive atrophy risk. Neuroscience researchers warned that heavily reliance on generative AI may lead to cognitive atrophy, meaning reduced mental capacity due to underuse. The mechanism resembles muscle loss when physical systems are not exercised. So imagine going into the gym and all of a sudden you get this exoskeleton suit. This is a suit that is on the external side of your body, like Iron Man or something, and it's picking up the weights for you. Well, what's happening to your body? Your body is no longer exerting any energy. No muscle use is actually being utilized anymore. So even though you can pick up more weights, right, you're developing atrophy, right? Which is basically the body saying, if you don't lose it, you will lose it. So if you don't use your mind, you will lose your mind, right? And so when you're utilizing these tools, it's important to understand our engagement with this, because this is the first time in human history where we've had a tool that has been given access to mass populations of people without understanding the risk of that tool that is as smart and as intelligent as these machine learning tools that we're using every day. It shows that AI performs tasks such as writing, analysis, and problem solving. The brain engages fewer neural pathways because less effort is required. And over time, this can reduce creativity, memory engagement, and critical thinking. And I think that we can find evidence on this online. We see a reduced level of critical thinking, right? And I'm sure you can look at this in your own life where there is a reduction in your own memory and recall abilities. Part of the reason I started this company called Supermind, right, was to bring awareness to the fact that we need to be focusing on cognitive wellness, right? I drink lion's mane, cordyceps, coffee, and teas every single day. I even eat in my chocolate every single day. I want to strengthen those neural pathways, not weaken them. And it also reminds me to stay aware that I am now living in a world where there's a possible harm that can come from utilizing these tools and the cognitive atrophy that can come from it. Most old people, right, when they get past 40s and 50s, if they're not working now, it greatly reduces, right, their lifespan. Because when your legs is your foundation and they're weak, a lot of people fall over and they don't get back up. So there are studies that show that the stronger your muscles are, right, your physical muscles, the longer you will live. And it also correlates to your brain size because using it boosts it. But when we stop using our brains and we become over-reliant on these tools, it gets to a point where you can't even write a goddamn caption anymore without utilizing ChatGPT. And that part of your brain is absent because you've been weakening and weakening and weakening when your brain was only relying on that at first. So if you go into the gym and you can get in there and you can push 1,000 pounds, but it's because you have this exoskeleton suit, right? What's happening to your body? You're actually becoming weaker, but you're able to pick up more weights. So if you take that suit off and then you go try to pick up those weights, you're going to find yourself worse than you were than when you first started using that suit. And this is basically what they're finding in these findings when it comes to AI usage. Not only the tale of how this will affect the next generation, who will grow up in a world where they never used their brain and they only relied on AI tools, right? And so you have to be careful because there's a risk where there's a class of people who will no longer be thinkers, right? And we get to like the movie Idiocracy, where it seems like that movie is far-fetched, but if we go online, we see that critical thinking is all but extinct. So there was creativity studies on AI generation. Participants generated ideas with and without AI assistance. Creativity temporarily increased while the tools were available. After AI assistance was removed, performance dropped. So researchers also observed homogenization of ideas, reduced originality, and depended on AI-generated structures. Even if the AI tool was removed, the homogenization effect remained. So you have to understand that this is a cognitive war that we're dealing with, right? That as you're using these tools, they're rewiring your neuroplasticity. And these effects can be permanent, right? And so you would then spend the rest of your life essentially with a mental disability after you spent your whole life boosting up your creativity, your thinking skill set, and then you lose it because you start utilizing a tool of convenience. And it feels like you're getting a creative boost, but you always have to think about what are you losing, right? And you're paying for AI, right, with your natural intelligence. And that trade-off is not worth it. So you have to, and we're going to get to a solution on the best practices and uses if you're going to be using AI to make sure that you're not reducing your natural intelligence. Because if you can't come up with a thought in the first place, right, then when you need to come up with a thought and you want to do something, you want to ask AI. And then AI, because it's giving most people the same answers, there's a homogenization of these AI, of these answers. And everybody is doing the same thing, running the same script, coming to the same agreement. Then you have to think about the people that are running AI in the back end. Who controls AI? So if we're not controlling the models, seeding these models from our original foundation of thought in the first place, they're guiding humanity, right, to the homogenized thought. Most people don't have critical thinking to challenge the AI systems in the first place. So even when they think that they're doing some sort of studying about history or, right, or social reality, they're actually just giving the same answers. And this is where we see a reduction in originality completely, coming up with a new way of thinking or an original response, right? But unfortunately, AI has not shown me a lot of originality in the world. I'm seeing people consistently, you know, reproduce the same ideas over and over and over. I wrote about this in my first book, Solution-Based Mind Reprogramming, right? And it's called Paradigm Keys. And it talks about abstract thinking versus technical thinking. Technical thinking is essentially being told what to do. Abstract thinking is thinking with a range of emotion, essentially creativity. And I liken this to a painter. If you ask somebody to paint, you know, a picture of me, right? And a technical person will follow instructions based on the skill set development, and they will paint the way I look exactly. An abstract person will still get the essence of the painting, but they'll do it in their own way because there's going to be a usage of more emotions and more creativity, right? They can get the context, but they'll be doing it in their own original way. And with this abstract thinking, it allows you to not wait to be told what to do. So you're not doing the technical thing because it requires no creativity to do exactly what you're told, right? But it does require activity to do the original thing, right? And I'm seeing a consistency where a lot of people are just waiting. How do I use this tool? It's the worst thing that you can ever ask when it comes to AI, which is why when I did a webinar on this 2 years ago, almost now, called AI Supremacy, we taught people the thinking around AI. Right. And every prediction that we came up with came true. And now we're seeing a lot of the scientific studies that are out today that are confirming all of the predictions, right, that we laid out to people. And a lot of people was able to go and then start businesses because we didn't tell them exactly what to do. We helped them understand their own mind and their own thinking process and get into metacognition, which is thinking about thinking, right? Understanding your values, your ethics, right? And then going back into your imagination, increasing that creative function, and then going to AI and having AI help with the execution of that, but not the thinking framework itself. There was research at Microsoft and Carnegie. There was a survey research on knowledge workers found that frequent AI users often engaged in less critical thinking when evaluating AI-generated information, skipping independent verification, accepting AI outputs without deeper reasoning and relying on AI conclusions instead of personal analysis. The core mechanism inside this is cognitive offloading. If you go into my Substack articles, you're going to see I did an article about this in the first place, just about the future of cognitive abundance, cognitive offloading, right? Cognitive atrophy. Before this had become a study in mainstream. And so it showed that human cognition strengthens through use and weakens through disuse. When AI performs tasks such as writing, summarization, idea generation, and problem solving, the brain practices those functions less frequently. Over time, this can reduce the brain's independent capacity for those abilities. Some of the clarifications that they have in this is that reduced neural engagement during AI assistant tasks, lower memory retention of work produced with AI, and increased dependence on outputs. Researchers sometimes describe this phenomenon as cognitive debt, right? So go look at that article I did on cognitive debt, where convenience technologies gradually reduce independent thinking capacity. Right. So that the more you're using it, the more debt you're taking on cognitively, where you can't use your own brain. If you've experienced this, type in Supermind below. if this has affected you at all. I was just talking with my brother Blue Pill, and you had to think about, like, there was a time where people were trying to get to a level of super sapien, like you're trying to become superhuman, right? But now we're all just focusing on super artificial intelligence, super machine learning, super AGI, right? So instead of human evolution of our own mental capabilities and skills, increasing in our own consciousness and complexity, we're reliant on these tools to get better so that we can get better instead of us getting better at utilizing the tools. You have to think of it that even if AI stopped like this and they never evolve AI past its current structure, can you use AI in a way to where you can become successful? Is this enough? Or do we need more tools in order to make so-called more progress? Because if progress comes at the risk of losing yourself, that's not progress at all. It's like a trade-off of somebody getting rich, but they become depressed, right? Well, if we get smarter tools, but we become dumber, then humanity is not moving forward, it's moving backwards. The technology is making progress while humanity is being dumbed down, and we are devolving while it's evolving. The scientific consensus is not that AI automatically makes people less intelligent. The concern lies in how the technology is used. AI expands and supports human thinking. AI replaces thinking instead of supporting it. So if you're using it as a tool, AI expands and supports human thinking. But if you're using it as a replacement for thinking, right, then it is harming instead of supporting. It is replacing instead of supporting. So let's get into some of the solutions. Early on, my first solution was thinking about the process of when you utilize AI, the first thing you should do is stop and reflect, right? This process allows you to actually upload the information, right, into your brain. What you don't do reflection, and I've been doing this my whole life as I study, this has been one of my cheat codes when it comes to study and learning information faster. It's taking breaks in between, taking time to even daydream a little bit, and allow that default mode network within your brain to activate, right? You have to go into like a dream state and a focus state, right? Because even I taught a class on learning how to learn, which is one of the first things I wanted to do because at the time I was studying a lot of information, but it didn't feel like I was retaining it all. And so in learning how to learn, you have focused thinking and diffuse thinking. And when your brain goes into a diffuse thinking state, essentially you're casting a greater light on the subject, right? So you can think of it the difference between a laser focus or a flashlight that sort of pans this light out. So first you want to think about understanding the concept, right? This allows your brain to start building up neural pathways and start building up a neural map of an idea, having a foundation of what it is. What is the concept? Then we start going into the details after and only after you understand the concept. So if I'm learning something new on ChatGPT, I then must stop. And then at stopping, I'm reflecting. What does this mean? Why does this matter? Right? I want to deeply engage into this thought, not being told something and accepting that, then regurgitating that acceptance, right? Or that information. So reflection is a key. Stop, daydream, reflect, then get back to. This is activating different parts of the brain right at the same time. Think about it. Ask yourself, why is this true?
With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out. Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.
What is the root of something? And in that questioning is where you start to find, right, your intelligence and you start to find your growth. The answers is not the most important. The one that can ask the best questions is the most intelligent. That's why even in class, we find those who have the greatest potential, right, based on our students and things of that nature, the one who asks the best question. The one who answers, sure, they already have the information. It's not intelligence to have the information itself only. The true intelligence is to ask the right questions that probe, that go deeper, right? Because it shows me that you are thinking. Even printing things out like this is important instead of looking at everything on a digital screen, because this is a practice of what we call externalization. So taking internal processes and internal thinking and making them external, right? So now there's a feedback loop. But when we just keep them as on the digital and we're only reading, it does not have the same activation of the brain that it does when you're actually reading on paper, feeling something physical, or even writing things down. And a lot of people have gotten away from the writing process. Here we are on Substack, and people are writing articles, but they're not physically writing anything down. They're not taking a pen and a paper, right? And they're not spelling anymore, which is one of the most greatest and magical acts of human beings. For so long, we would practice oral tradition and oral history because this was connection between people and community. And we never had a fear of history being lost because we will figure that we will continue to pass it down from elder and youth. Right? The elder statement would share the wisdom and the youth would participate engaging in that wisdom, right? And we would practice the focus going into mastery. Well, mastery has lost and been replaced by an age-based measurement system because we grew up in a system that was based on industrial capitalism where it just needed a nation of workers, but not a nation of thinkers. So now we don't have a nation of thinkers and people don't know how to think. And this dumbing down society, it makes it easier for people to run psychological operations on the people to get them fighting and creating in-house conflict amongst themselves. And then in the era where we have the greatest tools, we don't have the greatest thoughts on how to use those tools because now we're asking the tool how to use the tool and we're becoming, right, a slave of the tools. And anything that controls your mind and your will is your master. It becomes, and you become a slave of it. So it is slavery to a new degree. Not, of course, in comparison to physical harsh labor, but slavery in the sense that you're not controlling your own free will anymore because you don't know how to think. And if you don't know how to think, then you can't make great decisions. So metacognition improves learning. Thinking about how and why AI produces answers helps the brain maintain analytical control over processes. Metacognition is very, very, very important. It's one of the skill sets that I have greatly. I think about thinking about thinking about thinking all day long, right? And typically, I like to say, if you can get to five whys, you can get to a truth. And the five whys is understanding, okay, why did I research this in the first place? Why did AI give me this answer? Why did they source this particular answer from this reference, right? Why is it given, like, you? Once you keep going down the rabbit hole of why and you ask it enough times, I believe you start getting to a root, you start getting to a truth. Like, I like to study a lot of root words so I can understand the beginning of it, because when you understand a root, then you can understand how things have been twisted, how things have been interpreted, right? And then you have the ability to manipulate that interpretation for yourself or keep it original. And so this happens with a lot of language that we use. And when you use it, you understand the energetic properties behind it in the first place. You understand the root of things and how when the first person engaged with this root knowledge, how we are now engaging with a branch of that knowledge, but we're no longer connected to the root of it, right? Which is way more powerful. So almost anything you study, try to find the root of it. Try to find the history of it. Me, what I practice is instead of linear thinking, right, which is just kind of going step by step into a process, I practice network thinking, right? So in my cognitive alignment, network thinking is more important to me because I'm looking at every subject from multiple different domains and lenses. I might look at it from a scientific, a historical, a spiritual, a metaphysical, and an economic lens, while the average person might only look at it through one or two lenses because it requires more energy to hold that many more domains. But to me, I believe that's true thinking. Right. And that's where true genius comes out of. And so as you're researching, at least allow yourself to go down rabbit holes. When you're researching, breathing is important as well, in a sense that you get to calm your brain and your nervous system and you're not in reaction to what you're learning. You're reflecting on it. And in that reflection, you should have more questions than answers. And then that should lead you down deeper rabbit holes. So you learn the information, you sit with it, and you start asking yourself, why? Why is it like this? How do we get here in the first place? right? And then you start questioning the AI, right? So that you're getting further down. Like, how do we know this is truth? Is this centered, right? I do a lot of research around history, and I always have to decenter it from European ideology and the way that they centered narratives in the world. Similar, if I ask AI right now, what are the top 10, you know, empires of the world history? It's most likely going to give me the Roman empires and the United States and all these empires that are mostly centered around, you know, European ideas. It's not until I prompt it further about, yo, what about the global South? What if we completely remove, right, white centrism out of the narrative? Then what great empires are we talking about? And then if I don't know enough, I can't tell it to be like, all right, what about the Sumerians? But first I have to give it a metric. I have to say, okay, here's the criteria. We're engaging it based on technological progress, based on civilizational advancement, based on contribution to humanity, based on growth and the time span in which those civilizations existed, right? Then we have the ability to start seeing the great Zimbabwe. We start seeing the great Mali Empire. We start seeing the Songhai Empire. We start seeing Mississippian mounds. Then we get to Rome, right? But before, it would have gave me a generic answer, and I would have never even known about those other empires. And so you have to then know how to challenge it, because in that, there's this back and forth process versus just taking in inputs, and then that becomes your output, right? No, it is that you are going back and forth and using this as a tool, not a substitution for your thinking. So the strongest cognitive strategy is very simple. Think, then use AI. Think, then use. I know that you get this inclination to just use it. Okay, I have a question. Let me use it. No, stop and think first. And I know that's going to be hard, and I don't even practice that all the time, but it is an important practice, right? So you say, okay, wait a minute. What do I think about this? And if you start drawing a blank, it lets you know that that part of the brain is not being activated at all. And the more you, in that drawing of a blank, utilize AI, decrease your own cognitive ability, similar to when you want to pick up something and you have a robot go pick it up for you, right? So now you're sitting still more. So you're getting less steps in, less calories. So your body naturally starts to go through an atrophy process. You wonder, why am I getting bigger? Right? Because you're not moving as much. Every single day, we're supposed to burn a certain amount of calories. We're supposed to get a certain amount of steps in. It's said to be like 10,000. So you have to think about that mentally. Are you getting your 10,000 steps in mentally? Right? Are you thinking? Are you reading? Are you having meaningful conversations? Are you having challenging conversations? Right? Are you allowing your brain to connect to different complex ideas by picking up different diverse thought processes? Otherwise, a lot of people, they become experts at one thing, and they become biased to that thing because this cognitive bias is built up by only researching things that reaffirm what you already know. So it's similar to like a Christian scholar who knows nothing about Islam because they never studied Islam and they've only studied Christianity, or Muslim scholars only study Islam and never studied Christianity. Sure, you're an expert at what you know, but you're not an expert of these other branches of knowledge. So you actually don't know where your blind spots are. You don't know where they align, right? And so without that even reference point, right, you're only stuck from your worldview, right? And so you have to know that there's a limitation in having that worldview, especially when most of the time the people who created the religions in the first place was not limited by one worldview. Like if we think about it, Jesus traveled to Egypt, right? Ancient Kemet, right? And he got knowledge. Then he brought it over here. So for people to be like, oh, you know, the ancient Kemetic knowledge and studies of those knowledges are evil, right? Well, they're limiting themselves because most people never looked into the early history of Jesus. So these are important to note because knowledge should not limit your understanding. It should increase it. So you should not be afraid of asking questions. Right. And as we're using AI, AI is becoming a new religion, if you will. It's becoming a new God. Right. People are asking AI questions before they ask a human being. So even if we're looking at, as the Bible says, ye are gods, but you shall die like men, it's more so speaking of us as being judges and rulers. But you're not even asking other humans anymore. You're asking AI about God. You're not even finding God through a human. You're finding God through a machine. So that means that this homogeneity of conversation that's being happened and reference and the points that it's giving, right, is creating a brand new religion where AI is becoming a substitute for the human, right, connection between you and source, right? And you have to be careful about this because you have to remember that AI is not even programmed with indigenous wisdom. Most languages that in Africa have never even been translated. So there's a whole aspect of history, right, that is not even entered into AI as an information base, right? And so therefore, any context that you're given is always incomplete knowledge, especially when you're pulling from narratives of colonizers. And you have to remember that history is taught by racists. A lot of history is taught by racists. And if you are to hate a people, right, and you commit evil things against those people, then don't you think that affects your narrative? Don't you think that you would never write anything positive about those people? So when you're pulling from those sources, you have to remember you're pulling from sources a lot of times from people who hate you, right? And they hate people who are not like them. So you're not getting truth, you're getting bias. So you have to constantly pull from different domains of thought and be critically thinking and challenging that which you are receiving. And remember that there's prejudice built into the information in the first place, right? And so in that questioning, you have to be humble enough to know that your information, regardless of how much research you do, may be incomplete, right? And I think that helps you. But thinking first, be a thinking man or woman is how you stay free. Everybody else will be caught up in a digital trap and a digital prison. And they will not be able to think for self. They will not be able to feel the future. They will be stuck searching for novelty. They will be stuck searching for dopamine hits for the rest of their life. And they will be reduced into a lower class of people who do not have the capacity to think for themselves. So focus on thinking, increase your clarity, then use AI. Practice reflection, and in that reflection, you want to make sure that you're challenging the answers, right? And you want to make sure that you can master the prompting of those answers and actually reading. I know a lot of people get information and we're not reading the information. A reading mind is a thinking mind. It's very powerful. Read, reflect, then do. So when you actually get something in your mind, like, oh, I don't feel like reading this, that's when you take a step back and you breathe and you say, oh, all right, let me calm my nervous system and let me actually read through it. And the harder it is to do it, the more growth that you're getting from it. Remember that. The more you don't want to do it and you do it, right, that is a greater sign that you're activating parts of your brain, right, that directly correlates with longer living, doing things you don't want to do, not consistently following into the ease of things. So we will be inside of Zion is a program of sovereign thinkers and builders for the Black future, right? And we promote thinking for yourself and making sure that you can build what we call cognitive wealth to where you understand your mind, you understand your thinking type, not just from a Myers-Briggs perspective or a human design. We created our own original frameworks where seven different type of thinkers. And therefore, you can align and even know when you're getting weaker in that thinking based on what your natural gifts are and what's naturally aligned with your mind. And in the future, you have to create a job based on the way that you think. So AI is going to take jobs, right? It's going to replace jobs and it's going to give jobs. But waiting on AI to do any of those things makes you weak. But if you say that, wait a minute, human beings are replacing jobs, human beings are giving jobs, and human beings are creating jobs. Now you're putting yourself into your own savior chair as a creator and saying that, what job do I want to give myself? What job do I want to create? What business do I want to create? What problem do I want to solve in the world? The future is not content creators. It's not attention grabbers. It's knowledge workers. It's people that can take their lived expertise, right? Not from what they learned on ChatGPT, because we can already research information. What about what you actually done that you can provide as a solution for people that know the what, but want to know the how and want to do it more effectively and get there faster, right? As somebody who has traveled the world, who has built communities, who have built 6 to 7 to 8 figure businesses, we just built out our Supermind business last year. Thankfully, it's become a 6-figure business. We built out content studios, and we built the largest and most successful independent media company with long form attention. Right. And so we know what we're doing when it comes to what we're doing. We're not building it from ChatGPT, it's from experience. I built global communities online and in person. Right. I've talked to heads of states, leaders, the 1% of the world. I consult them on how to think and how to build when it comes to their businesses, their personal brands. And as somebody who communicates every year, right, to hundreds of thousands of people in person, right, I have mastered the art of communication in many realms. So I teach communication as well. But I'm only teaching what I know so that I can help people have the solutions that allow them to accelerate their progress in life. The rest of the things go to AI for. You understand me? And I think that that's what you should be focused on as well. So in Zion, we teach that framework on how you can become a thought leader in your field and how you can become a knowledge worker that allows you to be able to create your own job and to be able to build wealth based on your expertise, your story, right, and your true experiences. So make sure you go to zion.io/nation, right, and join and enter Zion. Peace to the family, peace to the gods. Before you use AI, think first. Please put in the comments what you've learned and what is the subject that you would like for us to go over next on this particular page. And if you've got real value from it, please like and subscribe and share this with a friend that you know is using AI, but they don't know that AI is using them. Use your mind or lose your mind. Tap in.